Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Priscilla Torres.
Welcome to Ivy Podcast. My name is Priscilla Torres, and today we will be sitting down with Ken Patel, who will be talking about his experiences with his personal resiliency through his leadership and all of the changes that have transpired in 2020 within the hospitality industry. Ken, welcome to Ivy Podcast. How are you?
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. So Ken, can you go ahead and start us off with an introduction on yourself?
Of course. So I'm Ken Patel, been in the hospitality industry for about 23 years now. I pursued my MBA in hospitality from Emirates Academy in Dubai. I've worked in big markets such as New York City. I'm originally from New York City. Was there about for 32 years. But now I reside down here in Atlanta. Currently the CEO of EV Hotel Group. We're based out of in a Buckhead area of Atlanta. And, you know, we're looking for a successful 2021.
I love it. And certainly, you know, the hospitality business has unfortunately been greatly affected in 2020 due to COVID-19. What can you say in your experience has been the most impactful lesson that you learned in 2020?
Resilience. I believe that, you know, we can be put down below ground, and the only way to look up is to dig ourselves out of it. And, you know, I feel that we are all going to dig out of it. We are going to get back to normalcy. It might not be as impactful as it was pre-COVID, but we were able to learn a lot. We were able to find out with our inner selves that what we're capable of and the capabilities that we'll be able to do moving forward are going to be a lot more that we knew pre-COVID. So, you know, as we find out to what is going to happen here in 2021, it's a big question mark. But now we understand that we're not only capable of doing one thing, we can do two different things. So it's going to be a big change. And 2020 brought us and kind of gave us a wake-up call. And that's kind of how I look at it, is we were able to now know that there were certain things that we were doing weren't right. Now let's make it right. And moving forward, we can create a better atmosphere.
I think that's such a great response, because obviously looking at the operations of hospitality and that industry, we've had to pivot and look at different ways that we can serve our customers and different ways that we can make our customers feel safe and welcomed back into the hotels. In your experience, how do you feel that this has been a pivoting moment for the hospitality industry and helping folks get back to traveling and feel more comfortable with staying at hotels?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's almost like this, right? We can't force people to stay at hotels. We can't force people to travel. Companies need to have revenues. So the corporate travel sector is vastly impacted, where now it has kind of went away from the physical travel aspect and went to more virtual meetings, went to a different kind of sector where people don't need to leave their house to have a meeting anymore. People can have as to Zoom, as to Teams and other platforms. So it's very different to how we actually conduct business. Airbnb, for example. Airbnb's model has worked through tremendous avenues and levels during COVID. And that has been impacted of the way we've done housekeeping. So the way we actually were doing housekeeping during COVID has the consumer thinking that it's better for them to stay at Airbnb. But now that we get back to the levels of housekeeping, get back to the levels of breakfast, where emphasis is a lot on the regional travel, regional business. So we'll get back to certain levels, but they won't be to the levels of pre-COVID. But I feel that operationally, we can't operate the way we did before COVID. We have to operate as to how we were operating during COVID. And I don't mean run with a lean staff, but be operationally smart, be analytically smart. And one of the things that we do with the EV Hotel Group is we have our platforms where we're actually AI driven, we're autonomous operations. So we provide hotels to be operationally smart, where we're going to teach you to live a better human life. And, you know, I think that's kind of the gear we need to shift towards, is we want to have retainability, right? We want to make sure staff and employees and consumers always look at, are they able, when it comes to employees, they want to make sure they're at the same position or they're at the same company. Consumers want to see the same staff. They want to see the guests want to come in every week or once a month, and they want to see Jennifer or Alan at the hotel. So I think we need to put a lot more emphasis on that, because the turnover rates in hospitality for the last 8-9 years have just been skyrocketing. It's because we don't have certain things in there that impact those levels. And I feel that it was like that during COVID too. That's why a lot of the hotels barely had any staff. They couldn't find staff members. So, you know, and we were able to learn through how certain people had to do 2 to 3 different positions during COVID. And I believe they are going to keep struggling with that. And how do you solve that? It's to create an analytic way. It's to create less labor and less operating cost. Everybody came down to science how to operate with less cost during COVID, you know, but that's not the way operations should be. That's absolutely not the way. And that's what we do with the EV Hotel Group, is we integrate softwares into operations. So we have full autonomous operations when it comes to revenue management and back office operations. And that's something that's going to drive force. And I think that is the way we're going into this industry. If you look at the hospitality industry as a whole, we are so behind with technology. And not to name a brand out there, but, you know, one of the biggest brands out there is still operating with the DOS-based PMS system. But that's just, we're behind. We're behind, as to cars are almost going to self-drive themselves. And here we are, is we're still stuck in the way we operate like we did in 1980. You know, so I think that is a driving force right now. And COVID taught us that, because nobody before COVID wanted to make any changes, because they were like, oh, we're making tons of money. We're doing really well. Why are you asking me to make a change? Why are we going to go do this? Why are we going to go do that? But now we're at that point. Yes, we're not making all that tons of revenue that we were. And we're not retaining staff. And we're not training staff. So, you know, we're back to square one, but that square one has to involve technology. And without technology, it's like nobody has a laptop, an iPad, and a PC laying around everywhere, but their technology is on their phone. It's AIs in your phone. AIs when you go and do a Google search. So AI needs to be in hospitality. We need to learn our guests. We need to learn what they're about. We need to learn every single guest that comes in, what the impactfulness of that guest is. What do the guests want? So all of those things are going to be a big play in 2021, especially with us. And that's why we're a different management company. We are driving this right now, and we're driving it to all different levels. And I think that's what initially, that's what it comes down to, is how do we change operations in this industry? You can't change the way people operate, but you can make it more efficient. And that's what our goal is.
That's a fantastic goal. And I didn't even think about that, the importance of AI and how that could really drive the future of hospitality. And I love that that's, you know, what you and your organization are going to be focused on in 2021, and really leveraging that data to make the experience, the consumer experience, more satisfactory. But you're also using that data to help drive what future changes need to happen that maybe have not been discovered yet.
Right. And that is, I mean, we've done a lot of research. There's a lot of research that has been done. And it's not only research we've done in the United States. We've done research in Singapore. We've done research in Germany, Switzerland, Berlin, Russia, Thailand. I mean, you name it, everywhere, India. All this research has come from how AI has to be focused and providing technology-based solutions. Mm-hmm. And just to like throw an example out there, when we do revenue management and hospitality, we have an RM service that is provided by the brand. You have your director of sales. All these people are involved into one sector, but there's a way to solve that. You know, there's a way to do it. We have our own RM software. And that's what I mean by RM is revenue management. Our revenue management software has a virtual assistant. It shows you a pickup window by hour. So it tells you what's your busiest hour of the day. Now taking that busiest hour of the day, now you can actually maximize your rate. So now you're making it a higher profitability. So, and this all is focused around AI. I mean, and that's only one sector. We have another sector where software provides an ownership, or whoever owns the entity of that hotel, is no one physically has to go there at any given time. That's not a GM. Well, obviously the GM has to be there, but we can get a 50-page report with physically somebody would be there. It would be like somebody's actually there to seeing all that. So we would physically have that rapport with pictures and all sorts of data. So that's how we're minimizing costs and maximizing profit. And also at the same time, making sure every department is ready if they have a quality assurance audit. Mm-hmm. And also making sure that it's going to make everyone's life easier. Sure. The GM's not going to be scanning invoices and spending their time. So the focus, the primary focus with AI is to make sure our guest interaction is better.
Sure.
We forgot how to interact with our guests. Mm-hmm. You know, we forgot how to give that level of service. And you see that everywhere. It's not only in hotels, it's in the F&B, the food industry. It's when you go to Walmart, you go to Target, you go to Kohl's, you go to Macy's. It's all around. It's because we forgot that guest interaction. We forgot that face-to-face. And why that face-to-face? Because someone else's mind is, okay, I got to finish this. I got to make sure I got to get my invoices to the corporate office. I got to do payroll. I got to do this. I got to go check a room to make sure it's clean for a guest. But we're doing all those things, but then we forget about the guest itself.
That's a great point. And you mentioned something a little earlier about how the hospitality turnover rate was increasing, and then COVID happened. And obviously, you know, different organizations had to handle it uniquely, right, given their circumstance. So when we talk about the future and the future talent that is going to be onboarded, recruited, and retained during these times, what do you feel, what are those like elements or characteristics that you feel are important for the hospitality organizations to foster, to keep talent, good talent, and recruit, you know, potential new talent as well?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is your cup of tea, being an HR executive. So, you know, but I mean, I always feel like this way. It's great to retain talent. I mean, that is what you want to grow your company, but there is so much talent out there. Mm-hmm. There's this whole world of talent, right? And I always look at it as to, we always look for talent in the same sector. But there's these other sectors that we have talents. Sure. Like, it could be somebody that's at a drive-through window of a McDonald's, you know, and that could be your greatest front desk agent ever. Mm-hmm. Or your server at IHOP. That reach that we have, we need to focus on that reach instead of like, okay, let me just hire somebody that worked at a Holiday Inn Express. Let me hire somebody that worked at a Hampton or a Town Place because they already know what they're doing. Not really. Just because they worked at a hotel doesn't mean they know what they're doing. You know, I mean, if somebody told me that they want to hire a front desk agent because they have that experience with that PMS system, rather than taking somebody that I probably met last night, you know, at a IHOP where I felt like she was, oh my God, she was phenomenal. She was just knocking out of the park, you know, as to every time I needed something, she was on it, or, you know, she was just had that smiling face on her, that personality. So I'm a big personality person. Like, somebody can win me over with a personality rather than experience. If you have the personality, I feel like you can do the position and then the training will come. You know, rather than bring somebody on that you can train for a few days with the experience, I'd rather train somebody with the personality for a week and know I'm getting a home run hitter. You know, and that is where our focus is that we don't want to only focus on the hospitality sector when it comes on the HR portion. Mm-hmm. We want to focus on different traits, and we want people that we can put together to bring them all as one. And that where they can bring different levels of expertise, you know, and where they can do, whether they were working in IT, whether they were working at a sales position somewhere. But all of this has an involvement with hospitality. Mm. You know, hospitality is an industry where you're not seeing the same guest and you're not seeing the same person all the time. And a person working a 3-11 front desk, their only interaction is a guest interaction. Their interaction isn't with an employee. There's no other employees working at the hotel during those time. And forget the 11 to 7, they don't even see anybody.
Yeah.
So do you find a person that has worked in a hotel that normally works a 7 to 3 and tell them you're going to put them 11 to 7? Or they say, I can only work 11 to 7? Mm-hmm. Now, is that going to be an effective employee? That employee is not going to be effective compared to somebody that might work at a diner 11 to 7.
Sure.
Or overnight. So now they know how to deal working a graveyard shift.
Sure.
So, and that's kind of how I feel about that. Mm-hmm. And where we would need to be. and how we operate on the HR levels. Because HR portions are very different now than they were 10 years ago. We have options for a lot more onboarding. We forget how to onboard an employee now. There's, I mean, endlessly I know that. And our HR departments, I feel, sometimes don't provide the proper guidance that the hotels need to, let's just say, creating an onboarding. And I feel the onboarding word is so put in the wrong way, because I feel people, when they see onboarding, they think new hire. And they don't think onboarding as training. You know, they're like, oh yeah, let's get them into ADP paychecks. You know, what's their, where's their IDs? Get them in there, get them onboarded. Yeah, there you go, start. You know, this is your first day, check in your first guest, clean your first room.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think that's proper onboarding. I'm a big onboarding person, where one of the things we are going to do is we are going to have onboard, the physical way of onboarding an employee. And that comes from videos, a lot of data, you know, as to what their position is going to entail, you know, how they're going to be able to do their position, you know, what are going to be some things that they'll be able to do and not do, what are they comfortable with. I mean, these are a lot of the questions we don't ask the employees. We kind of just look for somebody and kind of throw them into the fire. And that doesn't make a successful transition, you know. So I feel that we can't get there with these employees, and why we have these high turnover rates, and why employees are shifting from one hotel to the next hotel, is just because now they're looking at a pay rate. They're not looking at how well they feel and have that comfort level. Because why would somebody want to switch for 25 cents?
Sure.
You know, there's reasons why they want to do it. Obviously, pay has a lot to do with it too, but they don't feel comfortable. They feel like, oh yeah, I'm not going anywhere here. I feel like I'm doing a lot for $9 an hour, $10 an hour. Yes, sometimes they are, because we're giving them a lot in a short time frame. You know, so, I mean, that's where I feel like we can succeed at a different level. And COVID definitely didn't help that portion, because we were giving them 10 times more than we were before with COVID.
Well, well said. I mean, it's important to at least have those elements on the forefront as you, you know, continue to recruit and grow your organization. I love that you, you know, created an emphasis on onboarding, and that experience is truly key to retaining good talent and being able to provide them with these different facets and different areas of experience, knowledge, exposure, relationships across the organization that'll help them feel safer, more secure, more confident in the work that they're doing. And ultimately that'll translate into that customer satisfaction that they're going to be able to provide to your consumers. So I'm so happy that you said that. And I think it's, this year's certainly going to be an interesting year as we continue to navigate and pivot through all of these changes, but it sounds like you guys are on the right track. So I'm happy that you shared that with us. And as we close, I always like to end, you know, every episode with a positive and exciting question. So given that we started a new year, we're in 2021, what are you personally looking the most forward to this upcoming year?
I would probably say is, I'm looking at multiple things, but I'm so excited with our project with EV Hotel Group, with what we're doing and how we're going to be the new concept and the new concept of hotel management, and working our tech side of things into it and able to deliver on what we've been preaching. And our deliveries as to we are going to make everyone's life so easy. We're going to make it where the owners are happy. We're going to make it where the employees are happy. And not go working an employee to the endless stress that they have by the time they get home. You know, and the owners saying that, why is my GOP below 40%? I mean, these are guarantees that we have placed in our model is, you know, we're able to deliver this because of what we have, you know, and what we will have. If some of the things is like, I mean, for example, with Hilton, they had a project called Connie that they did back in 2016 with IBM. We are going to have some similarities to that project. And there's things that we are going to put emphasis on. And but, you know, I think it's going to take time for us to deliver on this. It's going to take time for hotels to preach to it. Sure. But we do have numerous around of people right now that are so interested with it. After we showed them what we're going to be capable of doing. And I'm looking for 2021. I mean, I know it's going to be the tech year. It's going to be the tech year. I mean, if you're familiar with the EV cars, the electric vehicle cars, I mean, you know, there's a guy right down there, I think he's creating it out of Florida. I think it's Ouster or somebody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the EV concept is going to be huge, you know, and it's not the reason we came up with the EV hotel group, but, you know, we do have, and I got to say this is, you know, we do have a prominent person as one of our investors that has their own EV company and they're, you know, and we're still in conversation, but to the fact is we're drawing that kind of interest. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm a big EV person, you know, and I love the EV concept. I love that battery charging in 15 minutes. So I'm ready to see what those EV cars can do in 2021. I'm ready to see what we can do in our industry and hospitality. And, you know, I'm just really excited about it. We love to talk about it. I mean, our teams are out there talking about it, getting with people. And we're just drawing a lot of interest. I mean, the level of interest, I'm shocked by it. I mean, just shocked by it. I mean, we've got, in days, our VP of communication told me in days that we landed on LinkedIn, we had about close to 100 followers an hour. So, you know, I mean, we're just getting calls, international calls to know, people want to know how we're doing the autonomous revenue management and operations, that it's unheard of. Let's say that it's unheard
exciting.
Of. Yeah. So, you know, and that comes from the level of experience that we have with our chief revenue officer, where he was with Arbor Lodging and Highgate, and, you know, our VP of communication or VP of acquisitions. All these people that are involved into the company, they've got that vast years of operation. And that's what makes me excited to know that I have a great team and to look forward as, you know, I don't want to say I want to forget about 2020, but I'll always have 2020 in the rearview mirror, right? As to, okay, we need to make sure we're so focused that how the hardship that people live through, they don't ever have to live through it again, you know, and how do we, and it's always like that, right? When we look at tragedies, is how do we fix that tragedy that it never happens again? And it's not saying it won't happen again, but if it does happen again, are we good to operate?
Sure.
You know, and are we good to make sure that we'll still be able to operate efficiently? And that's kind of what set us up. You know, that set us up to know what we need to make sure if it's going to operate and we lose you know, let's say we lose a market share, we lose guests, we lose 20, 30, 40% of our guests, and we can't afford to have employees, how else can we operate? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what set us up. And, you know, I love the idea. It's taken me months, and I would say I've been on this idea since 2018. But we have a lot of backing. I mean, we have tons and tons of backing. We are down the road. We are going to be creating multiple platforms of software that's going to be able to do a lot of different things. Currently, we have one software. Actually, we have two. So we're working on a few more. But, you know, people are getting these great incentives when they sign up with us right now that they probably nobody's going to get ever again. You know, they're not going to get that. Because already my VP of acquisitions is like, you know what? We need to stop these incentives. I'm like, no, keep it rolling. Keep it going. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah, but that's what we're looking forward to. And, you know, we're all excited. And I'm really happy 5 days into 2021. You know, I'm like, this is going to be the year of tech. And this is going to be the year that we can say this country's come back from the greatest tragedy, right? Yeah. Came back from where we were so resilient that we are going to come back.
Absolutely.
You know, we're going to show people that it might not take a year. It might only take 6 months, maybe 3 months, who knows, but we'll be stronger than ever.
Most definitely. Most definitely. We'll be stronger together, and certainly a lot to look forward to in 2021. So I want to thank you again for just being so open and honest and sharing all the wonderful things that you and your organization are working on. Lots to look forward to in 2021. And for our listeners, if you are interested in looking or listening to any of our additional episodes, you can look us up at www.ivypodcast.com. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you. Thanks, Priscilla.
Thank you. Enjoy your week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Ivy Podcast. Please take a minute to rate, subscribe, and leave a review on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. We'll catch you in the next episode.